You're supposed to say the lines.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlins' ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Oh, please don't do anything that these stupid-ass people do in the podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show.
What's up, everybody? It is Shauna with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective, founder of Geeks Paranormal, and we have on the show with us tonight the one, His Royal Majesty, King Mike L. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing pretty good after Royal Majesty, but I won't go that far. I don't think I would go that far.
I had to throw it in there. Why not?
It's meant to draw heat. I mean, it draws heat. That's intention. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, I had Sin on a few weeks ago, and she is on your podcast on Sundays, and she was just raving about you and said, you know, you got to get him on. And then I get a message from Angel Vao telling me to get you on too, and it's like, well, I guess this was meant to be.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's the people that can talk get to know the other people that can talk. You know what I mean? Because Sin has that southern drawl we were speaking of earlier. Like,
she sure
she
does.
She has the sweetest voice I've ever heard. You know what I mean?
She sure does. She is a sweetheart.
So she was, and she's on top of her game. Like, you got to appreciate someone that's willing to work with you. Especially like paranormal podcasts.
Right.
Like, and she's there when you needed to be there. You wanted to be there. It's just.
Exactly. Yeah,
money in the bank.
And especially doing what she's supposed to be doing. And then that helps you continue on doing what you're needing to be doing.
Yep.
So it is. Go ahead.
You need to surround yourself. I know this is like a cliche, but it's true. You got to try to find people that are better than you in something. Like, when you find someone that's better than you in something, that's that relates to what you're doing, at least, you have to try to get that person on board, because she's nicer at speaking with people. Like, I'm not that good. You know what I mean? Well, you know, I'm not that good. I'm too blatantly or bluntly honest when it comes to, like, conversations. I'm one of those, I say it, and then I can't believe I just said that, and then I got to deal with the fallout type person. But I mean, I'll be good tonight, I'm just saying.
Oh, you don't have to be good. You just be yourself. yourself. Look, I've been called an asshole and a bitch because of my blunt personality as well. So,
yeah, but you know what? I'm going to say that that's probably almost more of the fact that guys, first off, are horrible people. And no, I'm being honest. And they're quick to call that a woman that before they'll call a guy anything. It's just one of those things. So I kind of get that. I mean, if you're giving your opinion and someone doesn't like you, guess what they're going to call you? You know?
Right. They're going to call you. What did they come up with?
And there is, so in my life, I've been in different fields, we'll call them. And for the last couple of years, it's been so much paranormal stuff where I've got to interview different people from all different, because paranormal is such a big term now.
I mean, gosh, like, isn't it?
It almost needs to divide and be like East paranormal and West paranormal. And then whatever, the ghosts go one way, UFOs go the other. We just have a nice split, you know? But either way, the whole thing with paranormal is the more you learn or you meet somebody that's really interesting, like for me, the more I'll look into it and I'll research it, right? But then you get somebody that'll say to you, well, why are you asking a question of a paranormal investigator? You don't go on investigations. And I'm like, how does that even make sense as a question? Like, you're trying to say smart people only ask smart people questions? Like, I can't ask a paranormal investigator a question. Why? Because I don't know what I'm talking about. But let me, like, hang around. Maybe I will. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They just don't like that right off the bat. But usually by the end of the show, I usually get along with everybody because they realize I'm not as dumb as I look. Like, in other words, I had one woman say, oh, yeah, I had a great time. At the beginning, I thought you guys were a bunch of yahoos. Oh. Like, what a great insult.
Oh, no. I get called crazy, too, especially because of the blue hair.
I like the blue hair.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? If I could do it and make it look good, I would, but it just wouldn't look right. Wouldn't look right at all.
It varies from time to time. It'll go from blue to purple to teal to green to whatever color I'm fucking feeling like that week or that month.
But teal?
Yeah. I've gone teal.
Like that word came around in the 90s, along with fuchsia. Never heard of that word before the 90s.
Yes, I love fuchsia, too.
But when did that word start? I don't remember. It's been around forever. I don't think so.
Look at all the new words they're coming up with, though. Look at all the new words.
Oh, I know. I'm taking away the words. Taking away a lot, too, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the taking away. Just leave it alone. You know, if you want to add shit in, that's fine. But
no, I get that. But that's like, so let me ask you this.
Okay.
Are you a big stand-up comedy fan?
I am.
At all. All right. So, like, I'm a stand-up comedy geek. That's like what I love, right? And then mix that with the fact that I now feel like I've learned enough in different paranormal fields where I can have conversations with people and I know the terminology enough. And the thing is, like, what people don't understand is if you know the terminology and you know what they're saying, what's going on, then you can follow along in a conversation. It doesn't take, you know what I mean, whatever.
Right.
But, like, the whole thing is with stand-up comedy that I love is that I like when people aren't afraid to bomb. Does that make sense?
Yep. You know, they just get out there, like, and do whatever.
Yeah, it's just like they'll sit in the silence. Like as I've gotten older, that's what I've enjoyed most in life. Is like I'll say something to somebody, and then the best joke I can tell is where someone pauses for a second, and then either laughs or gets mad. I don't want that quick laugh. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You want them to think about it?
Well, they're either going to go, oh, that's funny. That's what he meant. Or they're going to go, oh, I don't like what he just said. I'm not making sense. Maybe I do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I do.
You're making sense. I promise. No, the sad thing about the comic world anymore is that a lot of them are afraid to get so-called canceled. So they shirk their what I call duties of making people laugh by trying to be politically correct. And to me, just be yourself. You know, that's what makes people laugh is when you're yourself.
So what kills me more is what you just said. If you took the word like comedy world out and put paranormal world in.
Right.
It would be the same
fucking shit.
Because it's just, is it about, so what I realize, first off, paranormal is it's not about what you can prove anybody. It's just proof doesn't even exist anymore. It's just like, yeah, there's an alien shaking the president's hand. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. It doesn't even matter.
It's right there.
It's personal experience. It's hearing someone's story and actually believing they're telling the truth. Mm-hmm. That's by far the best part of that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which commented the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
You know? talk about life, and they don't want to go too far because people can't wait to cancel someone. That's weird, man. See, the thing with me is, I always said, like, I'll just go do sports. I'll go do something else. Like, I'll always just roll with stuff. If something happens, I'll just go do something else. It's like Heat. You ever see the movie Heat with De Niro and Pacino?
Yep.
You know, the whole like De Niro thing was like, at any point, he could just leave.
That's what you do.
It's been years and years, and I stay away from what's called paradrama.
Oh, God.
I don't acknowledge it. Like, it's so weird. I let people say whatever they want to say, mm-hmm. and I don't even care. I don't care. I don't ask their opinion. I don't ask anyone else's opinion, like what they heard, because it's not even worth it. I guess I'm so old, right? Now that I'm in my 90s.
Great for his 90s, doesn't he, y'all?
Yeah. Nobody's alive that I grew up with. But anyways, I digress.
Is that how you got into the paranormal?
You know what? It's so messed up. We were doing like a couple of sports shows over and over again. And then like we finally had like two or three of them in a row. And I was like, you know what? I'm telling this friend of mine, Kevin, I'm like, I want to do a Art Bell Sunday night paranormal type show. I loved Art Bell so much, right? I'm like, I bought an AM radio just for Art Bell. Like, I got to do a show like that. So we had Buddy on, and then next thing you know, Buddy's part of the show, and then next thing you know, Buddy's booking different people, and some I'm finding very interesting, some I'm finding just, you know, I don't want to say it, but you know, all right, you know, they just like if they were playing baseball, they wouldn't be standing in the field. They would be in their yard waiting for a catch, not realizing they're not even in the standing. It's just weird. It's like that bad. So, oh boy, those stories. So then we started doing that show. And next thing you know, man, it's like, you know, there's 8 different paranormal shows we do now a week.
I noticed that.
Fields. Yeah. And they're all in different fields. It's like, I'm getting to ask questions of MUFON guys. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting to, it's so, I love it.
Fascinating.
I just love being able to ask questions, right?
Yeah. I think it's all fascinating, all of it. Whenever I first started the paranormal, I was mainly in it for, you know, ghosts and the afterlife. And then the more I delved into it, the more it was like, oh my God, cryptids, UFOs, all of this, all of it is absolutely amazing research. I mean, you go down the rabbit hole on almost every bit of it. And I am going to ask you your opinion on something. Okay, Area 51. Where are the other areas?
So, of course, they found aliens back then. And
oh, yeah.
Here's what's great. For the record, I don't ever give my opinion. If you ever watch how I host, I try to stay right down the middle the whole time, and I'll argue both sides because I don't want to flat out ever tell a guest like, no, that's what I think. Sorry. Don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. Sorry. I don't agree with you. Can't do that.
No.
Can't do it. But honestly, we've had UFOs since the whole time. Mom. Like I mean, we've had them before. There's different types, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's literally different species. Like, to not think that there's more than one species of UFOs is ridiculous, because
just like thinking we're the only ones in the world, I mean in the universe.
Well, so last night, right, I got really high, and where I went was, so if there's different alien species, right, and there's all these people on the world, something still had to create all of us, aliens included. Like, so we all came from something together. Like, I was like, oh, my God, like, all these different things, we're still connected. Because I'm one of those people that when people tell me their religion, I just acknowledge it and I'm happy for them. Like, if it does well for them, it's great. Because I do believe in, like, a lot of different parts of religions.
Yep. Me too.
Oddly enough. But I know that we're all praying to the same person. It has to be. I don't think there's different gods.
Branches off.
It's just all one thing.
Yeah.
It's all one thing we're going to, you know?
Yep.
So, it's just like that paranormal. And for the record, so the people that are really fake that want to be famous drive me like batshit crazy when I interview them, like, because they won't, when they start saying something that I've heard them say on a million shows, I want to kill myself. I can't wait to interrupt them with something, or just because I don't want to hear a pitch. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've heard pitches before, and it does get old. Like, okay, you said this on this podcast and this podcast and this podcast. Give me something different.
Because they're not really listening to you. They're kind of waiting for you to get at the cue to be like, oh, and that's like my new book. And that's just all right. Boom. It's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
I'm just having a conversation. Why'd you have to go and do that?
Yeah. I've had quite a few artists. Authors on where they don't even mention their book. I bring it up and I talk to them about it. And that is what I love, because they're actually listening to me and listening to my questions that I'm asking them. Angel's one of them. Angel is awesome when it comes to asking her questions, because she's always giving you a different, I mean, it's the same view, just in a different way.
Yeah. No, any conversation is best when it starts off here. And then we have no idea where it's going to go. We just end up there. You know, it's those are the people that I enjoy the most. Ones that just can be like, keep up with you, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's why I was interested in your podcast, because it kind of reminds me a lot of the way I do mine. I just start conversations and we go from there, and whatever happens, happens during the show. It's not something that I'm like, okay, I've got these 20 questions and you've got to answer these 20 questions and... What? No, that's bullshit. This is a get-to-know-you session.
Yeah, and written down questions are the worst.
Oh.
They sound really bad, too. I don't write down questions. See, throughout the show, I write down jokes. Like, I'm always writing down something I can make fun of, like what he just said, what was just said. Just because that's not during the serious parts. Like, I
all right. Stop. Oh, yeah.
But most of the show, I'm just writing jokes. It keeps me, while I'm listening, because that keeps me engaged, if that makes sense.
Oh, I understand completely. It's like what do they call it? Like the visual kind of learning, where you're doing something to make sure you remember what you're doing.
Yeah. Like, I always say that I speak for the dumb, and we spelled out two M's. And then what's funny is that, like, because I kept saying that, I had to come up with an acronym, like what the acronym would mean.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've settled on is doing understanding much more. We're the dumb, like that's what I say to these guys when they come up with the vocabulary words, like they're trying to win Scrabble, like they're trying to beat me in Scrabble right off the bat. I'm like, I'm gonna let you know I speak for the dumb member of. Could you just bring it down so we can conversation? Yeah.
Well, I'm always telling my hubbers, okay, what's this big word? Just keep it kind of on the neutral level, because big words go over my head sometimes.
But especially when they use it in a place where they could have just said, like, great.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just say great. Just, we all know. Say great. Get right to it. And we're good. We'll move on.
Yeah,
like, you
don't say it
fantastically, but did you beat me? You're like, all right, dude. No, I'm not with you. I don't know. And I'm not going to go look. I'm not going to go Google you. Like, I'm not going to do that to keep up with you. So, you know, dumb it down.
Yep. Dumb it down. I agree. All right, so tell me, you start, because I seen that you had a sports channel, you do have a clips channel, you have the paranormal channel. How many channels do you actually have on your website, Legit Podcasts?
So there's two YouTube channels. We stopped the sports. What happened is we were going to be starting up a stream. I could call it stream, right? It's spelled S-T-R-I-M-M. And they put a little funny squiggly line over the I, and they want me to pronounce it stream. And it's spelled stream. So, I mean, I had one call with the guy, and I have another one tomorrow at 11:30, but I'm not calling it stream. It's just not stream. It's stream. S-T-R-I-M-M. And
oh, that is stream. Not so, stream.
What's good about stream is that it's a nonstop channel, and we have so many hours of paranormal shows. And what's great about the thing is sharing it is, so if we put someone's YouTube show on the channel, when people watch that show, it goes to that person's YouTube
feed. Oh.
So it's not like people are not losing YouTube views. They're just, it's kind of like just piggybacking on each other so that people can get more views and be in more of a rotation. So
right.
if we're going to be like a lead channel, because we can do 300 hours, well, 400 hours paranormal and 400 hours of sports for the different, you know, separations, we can help backload anyone that has like, you know, 10 hours, 20 hours. They want to showcase certain times. We can put shows on in the same vein, you know, to help them jump up.
Nice.
So I actually have a meeting with them about it tomorrow, which is Monday at 11:30.
Monday. So
yeah. Yeah. We're like the elephant that came into the room. Like we just came up with a lot of, I always said, just keep doing hours. Like, you know what I mean? Just keep doing the show. Keep trying to get more out of it. Figure out more. You know what I mean? It'll right. all work out. Like, I was never about publicity. I've never been about, like, I don't really promote myself. I'm more about promoting, like, the characters that I have on the different podcasts with me.
I am horrible at promoting myself. I told my husband, yes, if I was a whore, I'd be a poor whore.
Like, the thing is, what's weird about that comment is I would make a great pimp, because I'm all about being like, oh, buddy's the best. Oh, come see Joey. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Sid is the nicest person I ever met. You know what I mean? But I myself could not be a prostitute. I would, like, not, I don't think anybody would want a prostitute that was like, I'm not that good. Like, they'd be like, ah, go away. So, yeah, I would make it very well.
I would say that I'm very sociable. I'm just not very good on promoting. I don't know. I'm not a marketer. I'm the doer.
I was in a band for 12 years, right?
I was going to ask you about that.
We released 3 CDs, like, internationally. It was like a fun ride. On stage, I could be the loudest, biggest jerk that ever lived. When I get off stage, I become who I am. Like, I kind of keep to myself. I don't know how to, like, take a compliment at all. Because if someone gives me a compliment, I'll give you 3 reasons why that's wrong. That's just how I am. That's how I'm built, man. I'm just,
right.
I am not my demographic. Like, I mean, I am not my biggest fan. Like, I've heard my voice so many times that I don't go back and watch old shows of ours, because, like, I got to skip through what me talking. I don't want to hear me talk. Other people like to hear me talk. I just don't want to hear it. You gotta understand, I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not my demographic. No.
I try to go back and listen to things. It's just time. It's time consuming to do that kind of stuff too.
And why go back and listen to yourself when you can be listening to other people?
That's exactly. Like, there's plenty of other people out there that's got great shit.
Well, I know my shit. I would rather hear theirs. I mean, I already know it, dude. Believe me, I think at this age, you know, now that I've turned 84, you know your stuff. It is what it is.
That's very true. That's very true. What kind of band were you in?
So, that's such a loaded question. Let me explain to you. No, I'll be honest with you. Let me explain to you our genesis and then our aggravation with life. With life in general. So my 2 favorite bands growing up were the Fat Boys, because that's where I got my name from. One of the Fat Boys, Prince Marky D, was my favorite. Now, they did a lot of corny stuff, but they were actually really good when they started out. Like, I like that old school rap, just drum beat type going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to rap. That's what I wanted to do. I don't care. Whatever, I'm Italian. Doesn't matter. So I got to go one better than Prince Marky D. I went with King Miguel. So I've had that since, like, I mean, it's older than most of the people I know. And I just kept it because it's pompous and rubs people the wrong way. And I kind of enjoyed that in some sick sort of way. So I just keep rolling with that. And I love Motley Crue. You know what I mean? Like, I went the spectrum. I knew what I wanted to see. Like, I like that whole style of music. Like, nowadays, like, a Volbeat, like, is a band, like, that I repeatedly listen. Because every song they've ever done, almost in my opinion, is good. It's just one of those things. But we wanted to take, like, the Fat Boy. We actually got one time described as the Fat Boys being raped by Motley Crue.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's good. Like, I really don't know if that's good. You know what I mean? Like, is that a good review? And we're like, maybe.
Could be.
I don't think it is, because it sounds like fat boys are being forced, in my opinion, because that's what that other term means.
So I'm well, you know, things change.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's just the
things
way
have you. Different you definitions nowadays.
Oh, yeah. I actually watched I'm a big interrogation guy. Like, I watch interrogation YouTube videos. Like, I just wormhole that. And that's one of the words that they bleep out.
And I'm like, God.
Why are they bleeping it out? We know what he just said. It makes it worse. It draws more attention to the word.
It does. It really does. I've heard that be bleeped out, genitals be bleeped out, so many different things. It's like, sooner or later, everything's just going to be bleep, 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 bleep. And nobody's going to be able to listen to anything.
No. The worst part is, like, the word genitals is just uncomfortable to say. It's not offensive. It's just tough to say. It's like, no one ever wants to say genitals. It just sounds so surgically, like, you know, it's just like, it's a rough word.
And like, it's like moist.
Yeah, oh, my like, God. I don't need that one. We can pass. We can pass on that word. Like, that's the thing. We can pass. We don't have to protest it or get rid of it. Just
right? Just, you know, ignore it and move on to the next one.
Yeah, because there's another horrible word. I'm sure that will come up next. I want to move on. Good, like,
of course.
But so the band went on to, like, do rap and rock, because we were a rap band, rap group that wanted a band. And I'm at URI, and one of my best friends growing up starts playing guitar, and I'm writing songs, and I'm trying to learn this myself. And then my other best friend is the other rapper, singer. And then we get one of our friends from high school. He's a DJ. We get our other high school friend. He's a bass player. And we just found this drummer who happened to be in a national touring Motley Crue cover band. Like, little, where they dressed up like him. So he did all the spins and the bat and the head.
What luck.
Oh, dude, it's the best. And then we just kicked it all together. And the thing is, like, so I remember at one point, you can understand, so I'm in the Providence area. At one point, it was, we did a Providence, Springfield, Worcester. We'd all share shows, and we kept flipping. And we did it, like, maybe three times. And it was us, Stained, and Godsmack, right?
And no way.
I get the. I actually have to cover the flyer over there. I get it on the wall. Oh, you have no idea. Like, the bands that we had open for us, like, there's a story of a Providence living room show, right? The living room, where the second to the last band going on was Godsmack. And then it was us after them. And that song, that first song hit of theirs, it just dropped, and it was just ridiculously big. And the problem was, so many people came to see them, but they came, like, to the wrong place. Like, we would draw 400 rowdy, drunk people. Like, we were, like, a fun band that had a serious topic, but it didn't matter. Kind of like I handle shows. Like, I'm going to give you serious topics. You don't need me to be like, so, what happened next? Are you okay with that? What's up?
Now, we're going to be right back after this brief break.
We all go through life secure in the knowledge of who we are. But what would you do if one day you found out that you grew up in a family that wasn't quite as normal as you were led to believe? You see, the world around us is very complex. It's made up of many layers. And when you start to peel back those layers, either by choice or by accident, you just might discover a hidden truth. The magical world and the mortal worlds are intermingled, with no physical boundary between them. It's all a matter of perception. In Shelley Gordon's case, it's also a matter of destiny. And what she uncovers about herself after her chance encounter with Timothy Titchmarsh, a mysterious little old man with a twinkle in his eye, changed her life completely. He told her of shocking, carefully guarded family secrets that had been unspoken for many generations. But the biggest shock of all was learning that she was not only a witch, but the great-granddaughter of an elite sorceress who tragically died before she could carry out a vital and perilous task that Shelley was now fated to complete. The thought of having to learn the craft, integrate herself into the magical world, and risk her life to finish the task is enough to give anyone a bad case of the collie wobbles. Marla Brooks' new fiction book, A Bad Case of the Collywobbles is now available at Amazon.com in both paperback and Kindle formats. Visit our website at marlabrooks.com to find out more.
Are you looking for a supernatural radio show that is informative and fun? A show with topics such as ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic energy, spirits, cryptids, and more, hosted by paranormal investigators with years of investigations under their belts? Then look no further than The Calling 2.0, powered by the Sim Crew, hosted by paranormal investigator Jerry and psychic medium Valentina, along with others. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
I'm sure you're wondering why you received this tape from a random stranger.
What was that?
What?
I heard something.
Like what?
Like a gunshot.
But is it really random? Am I really a stranger? Or are we connected in some way? To a web of lies and deceit? Possibly murder?
I'm sorry about our argument the other day. I'd like to make it up to you. In your office. I've been such a bad girl. I need you to correct me.
Okay. I'll unlock the door.
Hello, Ben! How are you?
You see, I hear things, see things. I know everything. To protect myself, I need these stories to be told.
Blood Noir is a crime and horror anthology show. Stories about people caught in desperate times and only have one way out.
Hey, I told you we're going to be right back. It wasn't that long, right? Right?
What happened next? Were you okay with that? did you feel anything different? Like, you know what I mean? There's no need to fall asleep giving information. So
right. That's
kind of how we were musically. And then, you know, there's just so many band stories of things that I got away with, like nothing wrong, just making fun of people or tricks we played on people, because that's kind of what I'm into.
Pranks.
Then I went into podcasting, and I'm just right roll with everything. But like, I like to learn stuff. I kind of constantly want to learn stuff. There's no other point than to trying to figure some more stuff out. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
There's no other point.
Definitely. I was in school for 8 years and people were like, God, 8 years. And I'm like, yeah, I had to do it part time, but I also like learning different things as I go. That's one of the reasons I went into podcasting, because I love researching. I love history and I love the paranormal. So they all kind of.
Those are the best paranormal people. The historical people. The ones that are into history. Those are my favorite paranormal people.
Because without that, what are you really doing anyway? Especially with a place that you're going to investigate that has history of crimes and stuff inside. You're just going ghost hunting, in my opinion. You're not going to investigate.
So we've been working with Block Island Ghost Tours, Block Island, Rhode Island. Right? We're doing an event. Actually, this coming weekend is one of them with Maddie Warner. And then we've got Chris Cesare next month. But Block Island in itself had so much horrible history that the locals don't want to promote that. It's so hard to be doing paranormal in a place where people don't. They don't even have any red lights, just stop signs. They won't allow one on the island.
Oh, my God.
And there's been a serial killer that lived there. There's been murders. They killed people that were trying to come over on boats back in the day. They burned them because they were afraid they were going to keep carrying diseases. So much horrible
that was
murders
back
and
in
stuff
the,
that happened.
Back in the day. Back
nobody
in the
researches.
Day.
They block it. They don't want you to know about it. They want it to be like sunny vacation town, when in reality, it's one of like, in the wintertime, one of the creepiest places I've ever been. Because you're on an island. You can't leave.
Yeah.
That's the worst feeling.
Oh, my God.
Leaves, done.
That is scary.
It is.
Oh my God. But yeah, when you research the history and you see all the stuff that happened on the East Coast, especially the Northeast Coast, it is some scary shit. And if I had a guest on that was talking about New York, and she does ghost tours there, and she was talking about all the dead bodies that are still under the city of New York. And I'm sitting there going, I never really thought about that.
Yeah. So that's normal, literally, from where I'm from. We had a guy by the name Petriaca that lived literally where like my grandparents lived in Lymanville. And he would run a lot of things out of Rhode Island for New York. Like Rhode Island is like such a nice place to be in between, like I said, New York and Boston. So
it's tiny
and
too.
Federal Hill is historical, like as far as Italians. It's just, I can't explain how the state is so like, it's not in a good way. It's very corrupt in a very Italian way. Like I still know the mayor. Like I call the mayor and we talk. It's such a ridiculously Italian type area. But like, from not incriminating anybody, I know of, I've heard of people always in foundations. How about that?
Yeah.
We put a person in foundation because when are they going to dig up? When's that going to happen? By the time that happens, whoever put them in the foundation is not going to be alive.
Oh my God.
I know. Sorry.
That's very Italian.
It is. And it makes sense though. Like, that's why I'm always on the show going, you got to get the line. And they're like, knock it off. I'm like, well, you would have to. Being honest. I'm not saying I did it. Just saying you would have to take, get the line.
Oh, that's kind of scary. I don't ever want to go to Rhode Island. No, I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't want to go here either. So
it's so tiny, though. It's like you drive in it and you blink and then you're out of it. Of course, it's like an hour through, isn't it?
It's about an hour through. And if you tell somebody, hey, stay at the hotel, it's 20 minutes away from the ferry, they're like, I don't want to drive that. And you think I'm kidding. It's like, I don't want to drive that. It's like, it's 20 minutes.
Right? I'm about to drive 18 hours to go to New York. Come on.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. The Northeast is filled with shady people, right? It's all, every city in the Northeast is shady. Philly, like New York, Boston's go all the way down the East Coast, just shady.
Oh, yeah.
And then it gets to Florida and it turns shady crazy.
I think every
crazy
state has their shadiness, every one of them. Yeah, and until it's brought to the light, it's.
Florida has to be the mecca of just insanity. I'm telling you, there's so many really crazy people that live in Florida. It's fantastic.
It's such like, a variety, it's such a, though.
Yeah, dude, it's like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's like, you want to find somebody that talks to, like, furniture? Bet you there's one in Florida. I'm just saying. It shouldn't be billed as, hey, go come here for Disney World. It should be, come here to find that one ridiculously odd person you're looking for, because we probably got them. And they probably do. Florida, that's my new slogan. Come here for our strange people.
Come here for your entertainment.
Crazy. You know what? Only place that's a little weirder is Atlantic City in New Jersey.
Oh my gosh, I've never been to New Jersey.
Yeah, and you never really want to go, except for the New York Football Giants, the greatest football team that's ever existed. Sorry. I have to say it all the time. You have no idea. I've actually, if we talk about times I've cried in the last so many years, I end up bringing up football games.
Yeah, I've cried during football games too, because NFL just.
No, but when the team loses, you don't understand. I take it. Like on Mondays when we lose, which we've done for a lot, like the last 4 years, I've just pressed nonstop. Like I wanted to actually sue them for emotional damage because my Mondays and Tuesdays are miserable. Miserable because they're horrible. They can't win more than four games a year. It's miserable.
They need a new coach.
No, now we're good. We're good now. We're good.
Good now.
I'm finally ready to go. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm more of a college football person. The only reason I would do NFL would be for the Ravens, because a lot of my favorite college team, Roll Tide, goes to the Ravens.
Yeah. Farther south you go, it's more college too, in a weird way. They like college sports. Mm-hmm. And the other problem with like, the big sports like NFL, NBA, all that stuff. So they try to force feed us all this stuff that makes everybody mad somehow. And it's weird. It makes everybody mad. Like I wrote out that whole area in time, like, and through the election, where I never took a side and I just stayed in the middle. And what did it get me? It got me people hating me from both sides of everything that was going on. And I just let them insult me. I took it, whatever. And I just like, all right, whatever. But now if I were to like go back and show them the conversations and how bad it looks on them, they would understand why I just kept staying in the middle.
And right.
Like, look, it seems like we're supposed to be arguing right now about a bunch of things. Like, that's what they want us to do. I'm not going to do it. So I was just one of those people like, I'm not going to do it. I'm out.
Well, the biggest thing is everybody's arguing over the same damn thing.
but it was on a weird rotation, was it not? Like, it was guns, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then guns.
And then back to guns, and then
this before? I think.
Many, many times over the last... How many years have they been doing politics and shit?
But people keep biting it.
We have
two people right now that are probably gonna be running, and it's like, if they got any older, like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, can we get somebody younger? I mean,
can we get another JFK or something like that? I mean,
you mean RFK? The guy. Problem with him is, I would have never done the video with my shirt off doing push-ups. Mm-mm. It didn't help. It did not help. I mean, he looked great, but that's not the point. Like, I don't want a president who's doing push-ups with his shirt off. That. I mean, I want him behind the desk figuring something out.
Right.
I don't care about his push-ups.
Especially my taxes, because I like to keep most of my money.
Yes. Yes. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about, like, homeowner stuff. Like, help us out with that stuff. Like, let's figure that out, all the nonsensical things. Like,
right. You know, like, help me understand why I'm still paying taxes after something I bought already and paid for.
It should be called a douchebag tax, because it's just a bunch of douchebags. I want to ask you one thing. Have you ever been scared by what someone told you on the show because it was so real that you were like, oh, God damn.
No.
Really?
Really.
I had it happen to me once.
Really?
Swear to God. And I don't usually get like that. But there was something about his demeanor and the way he was talking to me that it would just, he felt defeated. It was just like something like, man, I was like,
oh, no.
I'll say his name. He's actually here's the thing. So I had twins in 2003, right? A boy and a girl. So I was in a bubble. I call it the family bubble for about 10 years. So I missed out on ghost hunters, all that stuff. I don't know anyone's name. The first time that they said that, the Baggins guy, I thought they were talking about Lord of the Ring. I'm not joking. I had no clue. I never heard of him in the show. I'm like, yeah, Baggins. I'm like, I don't know. Lord of the Ring. I let it go.
All right.
So now that I've seen this, so Barry Fitzgerald from the international one. So he's on the show. And he uses the word paradigm, which I loved. I love the fact that he had to go right to that word. He saw something we started talking about the Skinwalker Ranch, and we started talking about, like, I always want to talk to people about what the snake below the ranch. No one wants to focus on that, but I want to know about the fact they dug so deep when they hear. When people dig so deep and they hear this stuff, it's always sort of the same stuff. They don't want to say it. They come out too scared. So Barry Fitzgerald's on a dig somewhere else, and what he saw changed his whole paradigm on life. How do I not want to go after that word for the next 20 minutes? Right? So he won't tell me what he saw. Okay. So I have to, in my head, like you do, as a host, go, how do I get him to say it, but in a different style? I'm going to attack this in a different way. So I start talking about, like, the Skinwalker Ranch and the snake underneath and all that stuff. He's talking about this, the other. And then I finally loop back to where I'm like, so let me ask you this. Was what you saw underneath this new dig serpentine in nature? And I just did the classic, I didn't say a word, pause, just let it dead air, because let him talk first. And he's like, yes. I'm in. He said, I know now. And I'm like, that made me more nervous, because now that's like the third guy that when they talk about digs going really deep, they talk about the weird sounds they hear. They talk about the fact that there's a serpent or something like that always beneath there. Man, it's so weird, the beliefs I have now from what people have told me, because some people I don't believe in. Some people, they say stuff, and when they say it, they're terrified.
So much conviction.
Yeah, and Barry was not lying to me because he, what I've heard of him before, other than that, he's usually upbeat. And he
got serious. I
mean, more upbeat, at least. He was not upbeat.
Dang. Defeated.
Yeah, it scared me, man. Like, I didn't even know that. I was like, oh. Like, sometimes you end up learning stuff, you're like, I probably was better off before I knew that.
Right.
You know? But it's too late now. You know, I think
I think my flaw is that I remain skeptic until I see it myself. That is my biggest problem. Because, yeah. I mean, I still, you know, acknowledge and I still look into it. And the more I look into it, the more I'm starting to, you know, really get the concept of it. But I still remain skeptic until I see it myself.
So the word skeptic is ruined in paranormal. You'll have a show and they'll say, and this is our show, Skeptic. And then this guy will name off 8 or 9 events that he's had happen to him and things like that that he believes in. And you're at a point where you're like, you're not very skeptical. You're logical. You're saying that every single one needs to be analyzed on their own merit.
Right.
That's not skeptical. When you're in too deep, it's hard to be skeptical because you believe anybody's stories.
That's true, but let me put it into perspective like this. All right. Exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
I was really skeptic in that until I started listening to tapes and watching more videos and actually speaking with exorcists. And the more I started delving into it and what I know of from my background, because my mamma was really religious. I mean, to the point where she grew her hair down as long as it could go. She was a healer. She would put her hands on you, speak in tongues, and you would be fine. I mean, that was what I grew up in knowing. But it was Pentecostal. It wasn't Catholic. So whenever my dad started telling me about his past and being in Catholicism and everything like that, I started looking into Catholicism. I actually went to a Catholic church a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But I really didn't point my finger on it or really delve into it until I started this paranormal group back in 2012. And even then, it wasn't until I met Padre Casey Scruggs. And he started talking about demonology and started talking about, I mean, I was always interested in it. I always watched the movies and looked into it. But never really believed, oh, that's not something that really can happen until you started listening to the tapes, the exorcism tapes, and hearing the different voices and seeing the difference that these people go through. And it's like, holy shit, that is something that could happen. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I think religion itself got purposely smeared and too strict. And they made it so you didn't want to go.
Yep.
When reality, like, that was the best place for someone to get together, people to get together, like communities, mm-hmm. not on computers. They would actually have to come face to face with each other. That's a great concept of its own. And so I just think like that got driven to a lot of people's heads. Like I went up to what's it called? Your confirmation. And from that, I was like, I'm also with this. Because the thing is, like, what you learn though years later is that there's a lot of it that's actual history and true. And for some reason, there's a bunch of stories thrown in there to throw you off. So it's like everything else in life. There's always truth in there. You just got to figure out how they're trying to throw you off with the fake stuff to get you off. I mean, the government does with UFOs. Come on. How come there's so many UFO sightings all of a sudden?
All of a sudden.
Like, really?
Here's something shiny while we do something over here.
If you didn't want someone to see the banana that you dropped on the ground, throwing 100 bananas on top of it would be a great way to hide that one goddamn banana. And that's what I feel like they're doing with this right now.
Oh, they're hiding something. They always are. When something comes out that's viral or they want to push, there's always something going on in the background.
They keep getting caught slipping. That's kind of how I say it.
Because I got dumb shits in there. Oh, I'm sorry.
They do. No, dude. Listen, they actually are geniuses because what they've done, I feel like, with everybody, holding in communication, running networks, running stuff, running information is phenomenal. Like, I don't agree with it. I hate it. But if I'm going to take myself outside and look at like an evil empire and how they handle themselves, I have to say I'm impressed. They're good at it. Yeah,
they are. They are. Well, when you only have six people running a media station and they only send out, you know, to the 250 that are below them, I mean, you got to look at the big picture.
And the thing is, the big picture doesn't really even involve us. Like, it's just, yeah, look, if it's a game, right, then I'm just going to play it and have fun doing it while I'm doing it and see what I can figure out while the game is going on. Like, yep. I can't rage against the machine because it's like, it's already in motion, man. You guys, we all let it just go. We're all just letting it go. So it's like we're like lobsters. You know what I mean? We're boiling. We don't even know it. We're just sitting there. Like, we'll be all right. But we're going to be dinner in about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you got to look back at World War II and see all the shit that happened there. I mean, I had an opa that was put in a concentration camp and a great uncle that was a Nazi. So you've got two people of the same bloodline that were against each other. And look at what's going on now. I mean, they're trying to pinpoint people against each other to put that fucking barrier in there to separate people so there's fewer people that deal with everything.
Yeah, like, I could have swore at one point the goal was to build a melting pot. Like, I for some reason, I remember that term. I don't know why. But then now it's about being an individual and being your own person. And that's more important. Like, in other words, they got rid of rap groups like Wu-Tang and the Good Ones.
The Good Ones. It's just
rap artists, solo artists. Like, I want to hear four guys on a track that are different. Yeah. And I want to hear someone like Old Dirty Bastard come on and be so outrageous. I'm like, oh, I love when he's on the track. Like, I don't want artists. I like groups. Like,
right.
That's kind of what they're getting rid of in general. If we're being honest. Yeah. By the way, the Las Vegas thing where they went and the kid was like talking about the aliens in the backyard and the police were like, oh, we can't show footage of the backyard because it's private property. That's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Once you're on the yard, the front yard, that's the fucking yard. I don't care what you call it. You're on. Guess what, guy? You are on the property. Asking the question. When you get to the fence, that's the backyard. Guess what yard you're in?
You're still in the yard. The
backyard. There it is, and that's all one yard. So how is it private property just in the back? That's ridiculously stupid. And then what scared me though was when the kids said that they were blurry. They were making half of the yard blurry. That would explain so much because the guy from MUFON and Shane Hurd was saying that if they can fly without propulsion and anything coming out, emissions. It's emissions, but because there's an E, I want to go ammunitions. So if they can do all that, why can't they be blurry? And I'm like, well, it makes a good point. It makes a really good point. Why can't they be blurry? So when that kid said that they made the backyard blurry, that actually scared me more than the other information. Just, I guess, from doing the show so long, hearing other people's takes. Like, I'm worried, dude, that they've been here a long time.
Like
we might be like the fifth try at humans. Like, they were giants. They were like all these different people that they claim existed before us. Like, world's been here forever. And we're only counting, like, what, 2,023 years?
Yeah. Well, I feel like we're a science experiment.
Without a doubt.
We're their science experiment.
Cro-Magnon, man, did not just stand up and start wearing a shirt and tie and talking on a phone. And you know what I mean? Buying stock. Like, something happened in there that made him be like, stand upright and be like, oh, I'm going to go to work today. Bullshit. Like, we're an experiment. Yeah, we're definitely experimenting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, some more than others.
I've seen UFOs at least three times in my lifetime. Probably more, just didn't acknowledge it. And my first time was at 7 years old. And the only reason I even considered it being a UFO is because my mom had just watched the Unsolved Mysteries and there was something on there with UFOs. And I was outside on the deck looking at the stars and seeing one particular star that was twinkling brighter than the others. And then it just took off to the right, or not to the right, to the left. And I'm like, Okay. And I go inside. I was seven. Mm. It scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, well, it would.
And then later on in life, I was closing in on 30, and I saw, I don't know if you heard about the orange lights in Florida. And like the later 2000s.
Yes.
Well, these were like in 2006 and 2007. And I saw them over a small airport in Destin, Florida. And I actually recorded them on an old phone that I had. My house was broke into when I moved up here. And they stole the phone. I know. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. But it happened. And And we were out there, and it was like they were communicating with each other. They'd get brighter and then dim. And then this one over here would brighten and dim. And we're sitting here watching this for like an hour. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? We don't have anything in the military that does that yet. And that was it. That, I mean, we saw it. I never reported it because, you know, at the time I wasn't a paranormal investigator. I was just curious to find out what was going on. And then I find out, I go back to look for it, and I don't find it anywhere on the net. All I find is stuff that happened in like 2011 and 2012. And I'm like, I wasn't there then. So what happened to the ones that happened before then? They covered it up. They hid it. Nobody knows about it, but those that actually seen it themselves. And then a few years back, I saw something here in Oklahoma. And then I was told, well, you know, Oklahoma and Kansas and Missouri, they're like the center of all the UFO and the MUFON and stuff. And I'm like, I had no clue. None. And I'm a paranormal investigator and I'm slacking on my duties. But it's interesting to know because of ley lines and all that. I mean, a lot of people say it's a ley line. A lot of people say it's all other things. But, you know, if they're UFOs, they can go anywhere the fuck they want. They don't have to be a ley line.
They go in the water, Christ sakes. What do they care? Like, and the thing is, like, again, they only started because we're horrible people. For me, like, they were here forever. We are. But whenever they see nuclear stuff or us about to do something really bad, it seems like
stupid.
They shut down a nuclear site. Like, you know, it's just it kind of seems like they're watching over us in a very, they treat us like cattle in that.
Yeah. That concludes part one of my interview with King Mike L. Thank you guys so much for listening. Tune in next week for part two. This was a very long interview, you guys, and it was a great, great conversation with him. If you're out in the Illinois area, Effingham, Illinois, I will be there this weekend with my friend Debbie, who is part of the Geeks Paranormal Group, and the Amok co-host, Ken Rawmiler. Join us at the Village Square Mall for the Silcon event that's this weekend, September 15th, 16th, and 17th. Thank you guys so much for listening, and if you haven't yet, go to kick.com/geeksparanormal, hit a follow or subscribe. Go ahead and do that on the Twitch channel too, and YouTube, Geeks Paranormal. Until next time, I will see you guys later. Bye, y'all.